This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Today we continue on with the series, The New Normal, 3 weeks into it, and we've been talking about normal and what is normal. We like the idea of normal. We don't like the idea of a new normal, and I'm not sure exactly why we like the idea of normal, because normal is the usual, the average. As I said before a couple weeks ago, I don't like to be called average. I don't want to be known as the average. I want to be above average. Anybody satisfied with average, the normal, the usual? Can I tell you today that Christ wants us not just to be the normal, the average. God wants us to be above average. He created us as something that is more than just the normal. And I think why we're struggling so much with this idea of a new normal or the loss of normal is this illusion of control that each of us have in our lives. We think that we're really in control of our destiny, that we're in control of our days, that we're in control of the circumstances around us. And what's come to our realization is that in the middle of this quarantine, we don't have any control. We don't have any way to shift this and to change this. Only God does. We get frustrated with maybe how the government's doing things or whatever, but can I tell you that ultimately God is in control. God's in control of this new normal. God loves new things. God is into new life. He's into new beginnings. He's into stirring up the body of Christ. He's into revival. He's into great awakenings. We see it all throughout history. And our series, in a sense, is new as inevitable. God brings about new constantly because it initiates growth in us. How many have been hungering for God to do something in you, to grow you? If that's you today, can I tell you that part of this coronavirus is for you? Not in the sense of the virus and sickness, but the result of what's taking place. That God says, I want to initiate growth in your life. Goes on and says, our job is to do everything in our power to set ourselves up to thrive in that new. I want to thrive. How many want to thrive? Would you type thrive in your comments today? I want to be a thriver. I want to be someone that is growing through this. God's initiating growth in my life, and I want to blossom, and I want to produce what God wants to produce in my life. Our series scripture has been Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, for I'm about to do something new. Something new. We talked a couple weeks ago. We've talked for the last couple weeks about this idea of newness. We like new things. This moment in our lives is a reset of the Church of Jesus Christ. As I referred earlier, if I had time to go through church history, we can see reset moments throughout all of church history where there's been the Reformation, where there's been the Great Awakening, where there's been revival, where there's been the charismatic movement as a fruit of many things, where there's been a movement of the Assemblies of God. We can go back and we can see over and over and over again where God has come in and he's produced reset moments, these normals that he says, no, this is not good enough. I want the church to thrive. Last week, Pastor Trenton came with an amazing message on physical rhythms. The importance that we step into this new normal with physical rhythms. And what do those physical rhythms look like? And probably you come back and go, well, you know, is this really spiritual? Can I tell you that it is very spiritual how we handle our bodies, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and how we treat the physical body and how we produce these physical rhythms determine how we can perform for Christ. Pastor Trenton used this idea that our bodies are this vehicle in which we carry God's glory. He used this passage of scripture that I want to kind of tag off of today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure. This treasure is Jesus. This treasure is God's glory. This treasure is his salvation in us. We have this treasure in these jars of clay, these physical jars of clay. So how do we best steward this physical body, this physical rhythm that we can better house the treasure that's within? It's to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I don't know about you, but I recognize my weakness in the middle of this circumstance. I'm at the end of me, and can I tell you, that's a really good place to be. It's not comfortable. Have you gotten to the end of you yet? God wants to get to the end of you for you to get to the end of you so that his all-surpassing power would be seen. And today I want to talk about this idea of sacred rhythms. Sacred rhythms, rhythms that are holy, that are righteous, that are pursuing the spiritual avenue of our lives. Sacred rhythms, not just the physical rhythms that we heard about, but sacred rhythms. And as we look at this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, physical rhythms are stewarding the vehicle, are stewarding the jars of clay. Spiritual, sacred rhythms are stewarding this aspect of the treasure that we house, of pulling into the treasure, of utilizing the treasure, of valuing that treasure, that many times, oftentimes, we forget that it's even there, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been on a road trip, anybody longing to get out of the house and go on a road trip. You just can't stop at rest areas. You can't stop at restaurants. You can't even stop at your parents' house. If I wanted to go to Montana right now, they would quarantine me for 14 days. And actually, I've heard that the Idaho borders are closed, so I couldn't even get across the borders. So I'd be stranded. So road trips. But that idea of asking this question is, are we there yet? Do you remember traveling with kids going, are we there yet? You're 10 minutes out of the driveway, and you just barely get on the freeway, and your kids go, are we there yet? Daddy, I have to go potty. Where's the next rest stop? When can we stop? When can we get out? Are we there yet? I've discovered that over these last few weeks, I've been asking God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And the reality is, I don't even know where there is. You don't know where there is. You know, it makes me think of this story in Genesis where he's called Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I'm calling you to go from this land to a place that I'm not even telling you where it is yet. I just want you to trust me. I just want you to follow me. Can I tell you that that's where we're at, is in the middle of all this? We're walking by faith and we're going, God, I just want to get there, but I don't know where there is. And God's going, will you trust me? Those are all those things of this sacred rhythm of pressing into God. So while we're quarantined and our days have changed, can I tell you the destination of growing in Christ has never changed? God is still on the same mission that he was 5 weeks ago. Even though your life has been disrupted, the journey looks a little bit different, the destination is still the same. The destination is that you would be more like Jesus than you were yesterday. That you would be a bride without spot or wrinkle, one who is being glorified into Christ's image. But everything about our daily rhythms have been disrupted. The season has been difficult. It's been painful. It's been frustrating. It's been boring. It's been exhausting. I've watched way too much TV, and I've sat around too much, and I've eaten more food than I should have. That's why the physical rhythms are so important. But can I also tell you this? In the middle of all this crisis, that has been an opportunity for my eyes to be opened. It's been an opportunity for God to speak something deep within my heart and within my soul. It's been an opportunity for my ears to be attuned to God. What are you doing? Not just in me, but what are you doing in the Church of Jesus Christ? I ask you today, we did an activity in our staff meeting on Friday through Zoom going, what is the positive of the COVID virus? What's happening positive in your life? Can I tell you, there are a lot of positive things that are taking place. We're pointing out the negative and we get stuck in the negative, but I want to challenge you. Would you begin to look at what good is happening in your life, in your family's life as a result of this? With our old normal being disrupted, it makes us feel, it presents us with this incredible opportunity, an opportunity to grow, to be like Jesus. But can I tell you, it's very important that we become intentional to form habits that guide us toward God. Intentional with habits that don't allow us just to fall into laziness and sluggishness and wrong mindsets and wrong heart conditions, but intentional with habits and rhythms that point us towards Christ, that we arrive at the right destination. As I talk about this new normal, I feel the tension within my soul. I even felt it this morning as I prepared for this service. I feel tension between hope in Jesus and fear of the unknown. Anybody out there feel the same tension? I feel tension between joy of being with my family and grief of the destruction that's being created by the COVID virus. I feel tension between trust in Christ and a little bit of anxiety of how long is this going to last? I feel tension between rest and this growing restlessness within me. I feel the tension between a desire of who I want to be and the reality of who I am. I hope that you're seeing a new reality of who you are in the good and the bad, that the sunglasses, these rose-colored glasses are coming off to be able to see yourself for who you truly are. I was thinking this week of this parable in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is talking about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. We sing the song in Sunday school and we know the story that the waves came crashing in and the house on the rock stood strong, but the house on the sand went splat. Let me propose to you this morning that in the middle of this COVID virus, the waves are coming in and it's showing us what our lives have been built on of stability and what part of our lives have been built on instability. And that's how we be able to step back and evaluate and step in and say, God, I need spiritual rhythms in my life. We have an ability to respond, whether it be in our flesh or in our spirit. And many times we step back and want to function in our flesh. Many times we would rather go to the physical rhythm rather than the spiritual rhythm. We like the practical. We like to be able to step in and go, what can I do this activity-wise? What am I in control of? But in this new normal, we need a new structure. We need a new rule that's going to pull us back to God. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, he asks this question to his disciples. He makes a statement to them, and I'm going to read out of the Message in just a second, but one of the other translations says, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy burdened. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, out of the Message says this, and I want you to hear these words. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? And it says burned out on religion, but are you just burned out on COVID today? Are you weary with all of these things? Jesus comes and he says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. We've been running with activity, trying to just make things happen and trying to keep up with quarantine and what's the new normal. And we've missed the spiritual rhythm that God says, if you would just come away with me, come get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Can I tell you today that we've been in this forced rhythm of activity, trying to strive, and God's saying, would you just come and practice the unforced rhythms of my grace? He says, I won't lay anything heavy on you. He says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We have an opportunity in the middle of this crisis to lean into Christ more than we ever have. We've been so active in our lives up to this point that Christ has been something on the back burner. Even though we've thought he's been forefront of our lives, we've gotten stuck in habits. We've gotten stuck in rhythms that are not necessarily healthy rhythms. As I look before COVID, I can go, yeah, Kevin, I prayed. Yeah, Kevin, I read the word. Yeah, I worshiped. Yeah, I gave. But can I tell you that there's this, in this disruption, there should be a reevaluation of how we are doing those things. And today we want to look at those aspects. How do we practice or even establish new spiritual rhythms in our lives? And today I want to give you four simple little things. Number one, we need to create a rhythm of prayer. We need to create a rhythm of prayer. And you go, Pastor Kevin, this is so basic. Yeah, it's pretty basic. How many of you have been having that rhythm of prayer in your life? How many in the middle of COVID have forsaken this avenue of prayer and pressed into the practical? How many have forsaken the spiritual rhythm of prayer and stepped into the physical activity more than you've stepped into the spiritual activity? David in Psalm 61 comes and says this. He says, hear my cry, O God. Hear my prayer. Listen to my prayer. Have you ever had any of those prayers in the last couple of weeks? You're going, God, hear me. God, I'm right here. God, I feel hopeless. And he goes on in this passage of scripture and he says, hear me from the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. One of the translations says, when my heart is overwhelmed. I have spoken with more than one person this last week, and they've said, Pastor Kevin, my heart, I'm overwhelmed. I feel faint. I feel restless. It says, and David goes on, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. He has been the stability in our lives. He's this thing that holds us, that stabilizes us, that keeps us standing strong. This word faint means weak, without strength, languishing, being overwhelmed, even sickly. Can I tell you that you may not have COVID virus, you may not have the flu, you may not be sick with something, but when your heart is faint in God, you're sickly. You're not functioning at the maximum capacity. David had an understanding. He goes, no, my heart is faint. I'm weak. The answer is I'm crying unto God. The answer is I'm running unto God. The answer is I'm going to create this rhythm in my life that I'm going to talk to God. I found this graphic on internet this last week, and I love it. I love the aspect of what it says. It's, do you ever feel like this with your prayers? Dear Jesus, blah, 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 amen. Does your mind ever just wander? Does your mind ever just go, God, I don't know what to pray? Can I tell you, let's bring it to simplicity today. You may not have a prayer list. You may not have guidelines of how to pray or what to pray, but what's weighing heavy on your heart at the moment? Can I tell you that God loves to hear what's on your heart and on your mind? And even though he already knows it, he just wants you to say, God, help. He wants you to say, God, hear my prayer. Hear my cry. God, my heart is faint. I feel overwhelmed. God, blah, amen. He's faithful. Oftentimes, the most rewarding thing that we will ever do is things that people never see. In our humanity, we want to perform. In our humanity, we want people to see what we're doing and get credit for that and be applauded. And Jesus speaks to this aspect of prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He says, and when you come before God, when you pray, everybody say, when you pray, type in your comments, when you pray. When you come before God, this is how you are to do so. He says, "Don't turn it into a theatrical production. Either all these people are making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think that God sits in a box seat? What I want you to hear, though, is verse 6 here as we step into it. It says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet place. Find a secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Can I tell you the most important thing about prayer is that your focus turns from you to God. That your focus turns from you to God, from your circumstance to God, from your control to God's control, from your sob story and your poor me complex to God's victory and his mighty power. That's the importance. So how do we do this? Can I make it as simple as possible? I've given you four little things here. Number one, in this passage of scripture, tells us that we need to be quiet. We need to disconnect from technology. Can I tell you that if we're running to our phones the very first thing in the morning before we're running to God, this is your idol and he's not. If that's the very first thing that you do, if it's the first thing you grab for, then before you say, God, help me, before you say, God, what is your word telling me? Can I tell you, you're placing this in front of this. There's these things called sacred rhythms. We need to be quiet. We need to just disconnect from technology, disconnect from the world. Jesus went apart and was alone. Secondly, as we be alone, we don't perform. We're by ourselves. Why is it that when we pray in front of a group of people, we pray differently than when we pray by ourselves? Jesus is coming and saying, I don't want you to perform. I don't want you to put on any facade. I want you just to be real with me. If you come alone with me, you're going to be real with me. And then he says, be simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't try to come up with the next scripture that you're going to pray. Don't try to come up with the next promise that you're, unless it's there. Can I tell you that sometimes we strive so hard just to make our prayers sound right rather than going, God, I just need to come in the simplicity of this moment and say, God, help. And lastly, we need to be honest. We need to be real with God. The good And there is a lot of good taking place. I can make a list of all the good things that God is doing in my life, God's doing in my family's life, God's doing in the church in the midst of a bad situation. There's good. We need to be thanking him for the good. We need to be thanking him for the bad. The Bible says, rejoice in everything. There's some bad things that are taking place. People's lives are being negatively impacted. There's some really ugly stuff that's happening. People are actually dying from this. And there's this place of being honest with God to go, God, this doesn't seem right. Can I tell you that God gets it? But God wants you to be quiet before him. He wants you to be alone with him. He wants you to be simple in your presentation. He wants you to be honest. A question that I would ask you, does your prayer life concern the devil? Is your prayer life so powerful that the devil trembles when you begin to pray? I would say this, if the enemy is not concerned about your prayer life, you should be. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons that you and I have as followers of Christ. It takes us from this human natural world into a supernatural aspect, that the God of all creation is attuned to our voices. That when we begin to pray, things are taking place and things are happening and lives are being changed. This rhythm of prayer in our life. Number two, we need to create a rhythm of reading God's word. A passage of scripture that we're all familiar with. And I'm saying, God, Holy Spirit, would you bring life to this verse in our lives? If you're a follower of Christ, you've read this. If you're a follower of Christ, you've probably possibly memorized it. You've studied it. You've heard sermons on it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this truth that is here. For the word of God is alive. Type alive. Well, the word of God is alive and active. Type active. Do you believe that this book right here is alive? I wish that it would just begin to pulse with breath so that we could understand the gravity of what the writer of Hebrews is actually saying to us. There is no other book on this planet that has words that are alive like this. There's no other book on this planet that promises that what the word is set out to do, it'll accomplish. It will not return void. This book is a powerful book. I wish that we could see the life that is breathing in it, that is coursing through the pages and the words. The only way that we can experience it is not just by holding it. The only way we can experience it is by cracking it open and actually allowing it into our lives. The word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates. Can I tell you, the word of God is penetrating my life like it never has before. Isn't it amazing how hardship forces us, this pain in our lives, forces us to pay attention to what's going on? It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. It judges. Type it, judges. It judges my heart. It judges my thoughts. It judges my attitudes. If we're not putting ourselves, if we're not subjecting ourselves to the mighty, life-breathing word of God, we're missing the surgery that it can do in us. As I said before, I don't want to get at the end of COVID virus and be the same Kevin. I want my heart to be changed. I want my life to be transformed. And it's going to take place through the power of the word of God in us. How do we do this? How do we do this? Three simple little things. Number one, we need to read it. We need to open the pages for the life to come out. It's not going to just translate to us. It's not something that is by osmosis. It's by reading it. It's by seeing the words. And I can tell you this, I've learned, I've gone back to the paper book rather than just the digital book. There's something magical to me when there's a page that's there. For me to be able to highlight and for me to be able to circle, for me to be able to see it. Can I tell you that in this process of reading it, you need to pick a consistent time and a consistent place that you're doing it. In all the unsettledness of our life, can I tell you, you can create a spiritual rhythm in your home, a spiritual rhythm to pray and a spiritual rhythm to read God's word. You have more free time than you ever have. Learn to turn the TV off. Learn to turn your phone off and say, no, I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to pick a time and I'm going to pick a place and I'm going to allow just the words to penetrate. Rather than just reading it, we need to study it. Can I tell you how important it is not just to read the words, but to actually learn what it means? Not just to come and go, well, I assume this is what it means. Well, this is how I'm going to apply it to my life. Can I tell you, that's cherry picking God's word. That's making what you want it to say rather than come back and going, no, God, I'm going to take 10 minutes today and I'm going to study this word. I'm going to learn this word. God, I'm going to memorize this word. God, I'm going to allow it to have impact on my life. And the next step is to think on it. To think on it. A biblical word is meditate. Our world has turned that word meditate into something that's rather than thinking on and allowing it to penetrate the depths of our being. When I think of meditation, it causes me to stop to actually listen to what is the voice of God saying to me through this passage of Scripture. God, what do you want me to hear in this? What's the key words that are standing out to me? Can I tell you, your Heavenly Father, He loves you so much that He would allow all of this to take place on planet Earth, that He could get your attention, that He could produce in you His glory, that He would draw you close in a rhythm of prayer, that He would draw you close in a rhythm of reading God's word. George Mueller says this, an early church father. He was an evangelist, revivalist in the 1800s. He gives us 6 questions, and you want to go on YouTube, our YouVersion, and maybe get this slide here so you can have it. But it says, is there an example for me to follow? Is there something in this passage of Scripture that I need to follow, implement in my life? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there an error that I need to avoid? Is there a sin that I need to ask forgiveness for and forsake? Is there a promise that I need to claim? You say, Pastor Kevin, are the promises in there? Yeah, there's a lot of promises in there. Are there things that we need to avoid? Yeah, there's a lot of things we need to avoid. Maybe number 6 here stands out to you more, and it says, is there any new thoughts about God? Can I tell you, in the middle of all of this, God wants our pain to draw us to Him. God wants to draw us to a place of reliance and dependence on Him. Number 3 today, we need to create a rhythm of worship. Create a rhythm of worship. Well, isn't worship what we do in church? Isn't worship just singing a song? Isn't worship just happen on Sundays? And now that we don't go to church, we only get worship when we watch service this morning or whenever it is that you're watching it. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, He said, God is spirit, and His worshipers, His followers, those people that love Him, those people that desire Him, those people that stand in awe of Him, His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. He's referring to a place that they're having a discussion of whether we have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship or whether we go to a mountain and worship. And God is saying, Jesus is coming and saying, it's not a location. It's not a location. It's not a place that you can come in spirit and in truth wherever you are, whenever you want to. And you can lift up the name of Jesus. A.W. Tozer says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to your mind when you think about God? What comes to your mind when you think about God? Maybe your background creates you to think of how mean God would be because He allows certain things to happen. The question that I'm hearing often today is, why would such a good God allow such a horrible sickness to attack our country? Can I remind you that there's a thing called sin, that when sin came into the world, it brought sickness and disease with it. So we come to this place of going, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of God? Do you come to a place of God's a God of mercy? God's a God of grace? God's a God of love? Do you come to a place that God is a God that we can have reverence towards, that we show respect towards? Do you stand in awe-dropping amazement of who God is? Can I tell you, that's worship. And worship is not a place. Worship is not just a timing. Worship is wherever you are. And worship can happen anywhere, anytime, for any reason. Can I tell you that we can worship in the worst circumstances? We can go through scriptures, Old and New Testament, and we can see the Christ followers who worshiped in horrible circumstances but saw God's power show up in dynamic ways. Worship is one of the most powerful tools and weapons that we have. John Wimber says this, show me where you spend your time, your money, and your energy, and I'll tell you what you worship. I think what's caused a lot of our discomfort in America today, believers and non-believers, Christ followers and non-Christ followers, is that a lot of the things that we have at one time worshiped have been pulled away from us. I'm not going to pick on anybody today, but can I tell you there's things that we have been removed from society, such as sports, such as shopping, such as restaurants, such as things that we have relied upon, that God is stripping away from us, these things that we have worshiped, that we would see He is truly the God that deserves worship. Worship is a spotlight. Worship highlights what is most important and what is most valuable to you. When you step back and you look at the creating a rhythm of worship in your life, are you pausing long enough throughout the day to point the spotlight on Jesus? Are you looking at all the things of what the news is saying and all the calamity that's on social media? Are you binge-watching Netflix and all of your attention is spotlighting all of these things? Are you pausing long enough to say, no, God, I'm going to create a rhythm to worship you. I want to highlight you. I want to spotlight you in my life. That's using your words in worship. That's vocalizing your praise to God. That's using your time that honors Him. That's using your life, your body, your thoughts to worship God. Romans chapter 12, Paul said, my body is this living, that I need to offer my body as a living sacrifice. And it goes on, it says, which is my reasonable service or worship unto God. It's something that we've got to come with deliberateness. So how do we do this? Three simple little things. We select the proper object. Can I tell you, first and foremost, in worship, we've got to select the proper object. If you're waking up to this object, you need to wake up to this object. If your focus is going to all the cares of the world, you need to deliberately cast down that thought and put your focus on a higher thought. To step back and go, God, you are good. God, you are faithful. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Can I tell you, there's a place of putting your focus on the proper object. Be deliberate. Can I tell you, in the middle of circumstances, my mind can shift. I was sitting at my office desk yesterday at home, and I was having to deliberately force my mind to go from circumstances that are present to the ever-present God. I was having to say, God, I can be focused on this and be overwhelmed by this and be brought down by these things, or I can deliberately focus my mind on you. We have a choice, and then we need to practice sincerity in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you that sometimes even in the process of worship, this is gut-level honesty about Kevin right now. There's times out in my morning walk that I'm praying, and I'm knowing I'm needing to thank God, and I'm needing to praise God, and inside, in truthfulness, I'm going, God, I don't feel like this. God, at this moment, I don't see your goodness, but God, I choose to believe that you're good. So God, I'm going to thank you and praise you for your goodness. God, I don't see your power, but God, I'm choosing to admire your power right now because your word tells me that you are all powerful. There's a deliberateness and there's a sincerity. Can I tell you that God doesn't want you to put on a facade? God knows your heart. He just needs you to use your words. Lastly, today is that we need to create a rhythm of generous giving. I ask you a couple questions today. Are you a giver or are you a taker or a receiver? What symbolizes your life most? Are you someone that lives to give to people? Someone that wants to lend to people's lives? Are you waiting around for someone to pour into you? Are you taking more than you are giving? Are you expecting to receive more than you are planning to give? Can I tell you, in our humanity, our old rhythm, our old normal, even as much as we love God, we live self-absorbed lives. Anybody willing to admit that you're self-absorbed from time to time? That you look at your life and go, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to benefit from this? Can I tell you, the new normal, the follower of Christ, is someone that's going to live their life with generosity. That's going to evaluate to go, what can I give? What can I lend? How can I bless my God? How can I bless my fellow man? Are you an initiator to bless? Are you just waiting for the reception of the blessing. I can look at my own life and I can see areas that I've been self-absorbed and that I continue to be self-absorbed. I realize I've not said this to her personally, and I probably should have done that, but I think of my wife and how generous she is. That many times I'm obsessed with what's taking place in the day, and I come home and there's a smile on her face and there's a lilt in her voice and she's happy to see me, and I'm consumed with my own life. I'm ready to receive the blessing rather than be the blessing. Can I tell you, we need to be challenged in our hearts to be the blessing, to be the giver. There are times that things hinder our ability to give. We feel self-absorbed. We keep score. We give out of fear. We give out of manipulation. We just give out of duty. We give because we want something in return. But can I tell you, according to God, in the goal of God, the currency of God's kingdom is generosity in how we give and generosity in how we live. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, what kind of giving are you talking about? I'm talking about every kind of giving. I'm talking about every kind of giving, and I'm also going to talk about financial giving. What is the reason that you give? I think of the story in the Gospels where the woman brings the alabaster jar of perfume. And out of generosity, out of this expensive gift that was worth a year's wages, she breaks the alabaster jar of perfume and she pours it on the feet of Jesus. That's a generous gift. How generous are you in your life? Jesus draws attention to a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 12. He says, and he sat down, Jesus sat down opposite the treasurer, and he began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. He sat there and he is watching how people are giving of their tithes and giving of their offerings. And he said, and many rich people were putting in large sums. They were showing off, they were making a display out of their giving. And it goes on to say, there was a poor widow that came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. He calls his disciples over and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow who just put in 2 cents, who put in just this 2 little copper coins, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury at this moment. For they all put in out of their surplus, and she put in out of her poverty. She put in all that she owned, all that she had to live on. I want to ask you today, you say, Pastor Kevin, you just thanked us for your generosity in giving. I guess the question I want to ask you is this. Is this new spiritual rhythm, this generous giving in your life, are you giving out of excess? Or are you giving out of lack? Are you giving out of excess? Or are you giving out of obedience and love to God? This opportunity that we have to give is such an overwhelming thing that we get to participate in. I want to share a story just real quickly. Through Messenger yesterday, I was conversing with one of our church members, and I had this message that popped up in Messenger, and we were dialoguing back and forth about how things were going. And this person said, Pastor Kevin, how do we begin to tithe? We don't understand the technical part of this. And I'm like, going, you're asking the wrong person, because I don't get it either. So I said, can I put you in touch with someone to help you with that? And I put him in touch with them. And within probably a half hour, they had already learned how to do it. And they had gotten back to me. And then I get this message on Messenger just probably 45 minutes later. And the response was this. We feel so overwhelmed with God's goodness. We know the importance of obedience to God. We know the importance of tithing. But Pastor Kevin, we haven't walked in that obedience for several years. And she went on to say how liberated she felt, how overjoyed she felt as a result of giving. Can I tell you, it reminded me of this widow that came with joy to offer all that she had. It wasn't excess, it wasn't what was left over. It's why Jesus comes and why the Word of God comes and speaks to us about this importance of our first fruits and our first giving. Because He needs to be the priority in our lives. He needs to be what we give towards. And how do we do this? Number one, I want you to realize that giving gets God's attention. Can I tell you that God pays attention when you give? He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And your treasure is connected to your heart. When you give out of obedience, when you give out of generosity, you get God's attention. It's like his eyes go beep, 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 beep. To recognize, to go, wow, their heart is right. Giving, generous giving is outward focused. It's not going, okay, God, I'm giving so I get a blessing. God, I'm giving so you rebuke the devourer. Can I tell you that he does all those things just as we give? Because our minds are outward focused. How do we give? We need to decide to give. Just like the widow came and decided to give her all that she had, just like the individual I'm speaking about yesterday came and decided to give, just like some of you have just in the middle of this COVID crisis have decided to begin to give. As Ali said at the beginning, can I tell you, we rejoice over that, not just because money's coming into the church, but because God's doing something in your heart. That's the most important thing, that the glory of God is changing you and growing you and making you into his image. Can I tell you, God's our supply. Whether he uses you or uses somebody else, God is still our supply, but it's out of our generosity that he works in us and changes us. Lastly, in giving, is that we need to be consistent. Many times we go, well, I'm just going to give once. There's one outward sign. No, consistent giving is a reflection of a consistent change. Consistent giving is a reflection of God being consistently on the throne of your life, that he's the one that you want to serve. As I close today, I want to give you a statement. We pray, we worship, and we read God's word. And we give because they all draw our attention to who God is in our lives. These are all sacred rhythms that we need to practice. Would you type practice in your comments today? That we need to practice. We need to practice prayer. None of us are professional prayers. We need to practice the word of God. None of us are professional word readers. We need to practice worship. None of us are professional worshipers. We need to practice giving because none of us are professional givers. It's all about practice. It's all about day in and day out obedience to God that reflects who he is in our lives. It's a spiritual rhythm that I challenge you, that maybe you've not been practicing it, maybe you've not established it, that you would step into it like you never have before. As I close, I want to read this passage of scripture today in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes and he says, rid yourselves. Your responsibility is to do this in your life. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. We probably could go on with a list of things. Peter's not just coming and going, these are the only things you need to get rid of. He's coming and saying, no, you need to get rid of things in your life that are not glorifying to God. He says, but in verse 2, like newborn infants, would you crave spiritual milk? Our prayer throughout this service, our prayer for this new normal in your life is that there'd be a deeper craving of who God is in you. That there'd be this desire growing within you so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. This opportunity that we're facing right now is for us to grow up in Christ Jesus. For us to grow up in our salvation. Peter goes on to say, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, now you've had just a little small taste of God's goodness in your life, as you come to him as this living stone, as he is the living stone, rejected by humans and chosen by God and precious to him. Verse 5, you also are like living stones. You are being built into a spiritual house. The spiritual rhythms, these practices, these four things, praying, reading God's word, worshiping, giving, are stone upon stone in your life that are building something great and fantastic in you. It's making you more like Jesus. It's making you more like him. If you don't grow yourself daily, no one's going to grow yourself for you. If you don't take in the word of God for yourself, no one's going to force feed you the word of God. If you don't choose to kneel and pray, no one's going to force you to kneel and pray. Let us invite you into new spiritual rhythms. In this new normal, this is a new opportunity to embrace something fantastic that only God can do in you and you can do as you step into His presence. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Kevin, you know, I desire more of God. I want to crave Him. Would you pray for me that I would desire Him more? Would you pray for my prayer life? Would you pray for the Word of God in my life? Would you pray for these areas? Can I tell you that you're responsible just to begin? I'm going to pray for you today. And we're going to ask God to do something supernatural in you. But the big thing that I want to invite you to do is, would you take the first step? The Bible says, if you draw near unto God, He will draw near unto you. God's already done all that He's going to do. He sent His Son, Jesus. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loves you still. But He's saying, will you take a step? I just want to ask you to take a step this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come and we close in prayer today, God, I pray for all those who are listening. God, I pray for a deeper craving and a deeper desire for You, a desire for spiritual rhythms in their lives. God, a desire to walk in intimate relationship with You in prayer. God, to know You more. God, Your Word is this thing that stabilizes us. God, we come to this Word of God that changes us, that judges us, God, that does those things in our lives that can transform. And God, in the middle of all these things that are taking place, God, we don't spotlight what's going wrong. We spotlight who You are. God, help us to worship You. God, I pray that You'd also help us to be generous in our giving, generous in giving to our families, generous in giving in relationships, generous in giving our finances. God, there are so many areas of generosity. God, change us. Let these be the beginnings of the new normal of what You're doing in our lives. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Kevin, I've not heard all that. I don't even know what some of those things are. And, oh, Pastor Kevin, you're just after my money. No, actually, I'm after Your soul. Just like Jesus is after your soul. Can I tell you today that maybe you've not encountered Him, maybe you've not stepped into Him, but today is a day of salvation. Today is the day for you to step into the new normal, the ultimate new normal, to being a child of God. We say it every week that God didn't just shout His love from heaven. He actually sent His Son to earth that He would reveal His love to us. Can I tell you today that He came, that you would know Him? If that's you and you're saying, Pastor Kevin, how do I do this? Would you just bow your head with me? I want to pray a simple prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, thank You for Your obedience. God, help me to follow You. Help me to practice new spiritual rhythms in my life. Holy Spirit, I invite You to help me to live for God. God, I thank You today for salvation. I thank You for new beginnings. I thank You for new normals. I thank You for new rhythms. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you that there's another in the fire, and we're going to sing that again. You're not walking alone. Would you lift this voice, and would you recognize Him? Would you come to a place of worship and recognizing that God is still in control of everything on this planet? God bless you.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.